This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. Neil Conan is on vacation. On July 4th, patriotism is the order of the day, so we're discussing what it means to be American. The quote that epitomizes America to me isn't even attributed to an American, but to that clever Frenchman Voltaire. "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." There's some question about whether Voltaire actually said that or whether it was a later paraphrasing by someone else, but regardless, it's a good motto for Americans and, for that matter, talk show hosts. So with Voltaire's words in mind, we want to hear from you. We hope to hear your perspective as a teacher, a farmer, a Kansan or Californian, as a soldier or an executive. What do you value most about America? Has your sense of nationality changed over time? Give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can also comment on our blog. It's npr.org/blogofthenation. We begin with Pat Morrison. She's a columnist for the Los Angeles Times and joins us on the phone from Los Angeles, California. Welcome.
Hello, Rebecca.
You've written a lot about society and identity in your columns. What does being an American mean to you?
I think we have this unbelievable aspirational sense, a capacity for reinvention, for coming back, and for believing that any tribulation can be overcome if we just put our minds to it. It's kind of the opposite of fatalism and cynicism.
Have you come to that sense over time, or was that sort of sense of reinvention always with you as an American?
No, I think it kind of comes with the country. It was such an enormous country and so few people to fill it up. And so there was a sense of tribulation that we had obstacles to overcome, but we could do it. When I was little, my brother had one of these Joe Palooka big boxing dolls, and every time you punched it, it sprang right back up again. And I think this is kind of the attitude that I've identified as distinctly American. That it comes, unfortunately, with some kind of a sense of sometimes arrogance in our own virtue that can get in our way. There was a United States senator named Carl Schurz, and everyone's heard the My Country Right or Wrong. And he elaborated on that. He said, "My country, right or wrong, if right, to be kept right, and if wrong, to be set right." Because he talked about the idea of patriotism as being able to criticize as well as support, to put back on track the country he valued so much.
So it almost seems that inherent in an American patriotism, as you define it, is the responsibility to disagree.
I think absolutely. You find it everywhere. People like Teddy Roosevelt, who said, "You don't just roll over and play dead. It is your responsibility as a citizen to stand up and say what you think." And a clash of ideas can result in good things coming out of it. Now, because we're a very forward motion country, we look forward and we don't look back. We're not always very good at understanding our own history, whether it's personal or national. But because we're a nation of immigrants, we have a sense that people come here to get away from centuries of conflict and superstition. You leave that baggage at the door. This is a place for new starts and not for old grudges. That gives us the sense of freedom and reinvention, I think.
From your vantage point in Southern California, which is obviously a huge polyglot of ethnicities and nationalities and ages and professions, where do you see that all going? Do you think that sort of optimism/arrogance and the ability to come back from blows and reinvent ourselves is something we can continue?
Because we've been a very rich country, we have not had to make choices in the way that perhaps other countries have, with diminishing resources, less land, less money, less prosperity. My concern is what happens to our national character when we have to make those choices, when we no longer have all of the plenty that's been available to us in the past. And I hope that our character and our capacity for optimism and reinvention will come through, and that we don't turn on ourselves the way other places have.
Can you give me an example of a place that you think has turned on itself?
Oh, I think whether it's fights over the historic, the aristocracy versus the people, land rights. Right now we're seeing in Iraq Sunni versus Shia, where people who have very little fight even over that. And I'm concerned that while the most common color in this country is green, that we not let that get in the way of being a good and kind-hearted and decent people who understand that as the time comes upon us where we will have to make different choices, it will be either or, we can't have anything, that we cannot have everything, that we don't turn upon each other and make divisions where there are no divisions, there shouldn't be divisions.
By saying the most common color is green, I assume you're referring to capitalism, not environmentalism.
No, and we can have green in the capitalism. Arnold Schwarzenegger talks about it a great deal here.
Let's take a call. This is Boyd in Milwaukee. Boyd, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Hello to your guest. Happy 4th of July to both of you.
Thank you.
I think being an American, and a lot of these issues are already touched on, it is, I think, our patriotic duty to question our leaders, to always be aware and certainly question the direction that this country may be going if we feel it is on the wrong path. I don't know if maybe I remember what when you're making some quotes before with what that congressman, I believe, had said, my country right or wrong, and also the quote, Rebecca, you made from Voltaire. Tell me, my question is this, tell me if you feel this is relevant. Edmund Burke, you know, he had a quote called, for evil to succeed, good people should not do anything. Do you believe that that's sort of relevant to what you were talking about previously, or maybe is that a little bit too reactionary?
Boy, thanks for your call. Pat Morrison, what do you think?
I think he's right that the great risk is that we retreat from public engagement. It's the public sphere that really forged this country. And if we retreat into the idea that, well, that all I have to do to be an American is make money and take care of my family, that isn't enough. The idea of dispute and conflict in the public sphere about ideas and about the way government can go is intrinsically American. And if we make it just about money and just about making a success of yourself and retreating from this idea that you have to forge policy together to make it work, then I think we give up something that's very American.
Pat Morrison is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. She's been joining us on the phone from Los Angeles. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Rebecca.
Let's take one more call. This is Kathy in Binghamton, New York. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, good afternoon. This kind of follows up on what your guest just said and what the last caller just said, but I want to add to it that while being part of this country and being an American and citizen of a democratic country is about dissent and speaking up, what I value most is something that I don't think we have anymore, which is this idea that you can say casually in public, in your neighborhood, in your home, what you feel, and not feel that you will be censored or not feel that you will create division or dissent or distress. And I felt a palpable change in that over the last 6 years, that there's this loss of freedom to say that, not because you think something will happen to you politically necessarily, although I think there is that, but that something will harm the harmony of your neighborhood or your home or your family if you do.
Well, Kathy, you're on national radio. Is there something you want to say?
Well, I want to say that I think fear has replaced hope, and I think that people feel afraid to say that they're afraid, and people feel afraid to say they're angry, and I think that we're angry at George Bush and Dick Cheney, and that their offenses are patently impeachable, but everyone's afraid to tell the Congress that their constitutional duty is to bring those articles of impeachment to them.
Kathy, thank you so much for your call. We are talking about what it means to be an American. You can join us at 800-989-TALK or send us email, talk@npr.org. Joining us now is Ron Takaki. He's a professor of ethnic studies at the University of California, Berkeley, and he joins us from his home in Berkeley. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca.
You've written a lot about ethnic studies and taking on some of the stereotypes of Asian Americans. Will Asian always come as part of being American for you, or is there an American without that first part of the hyphen?
Well, I wouldn't put a hyphen between Asian and American. For me, Asian would be an adjective to American. I am an American of Asian ancestry. But I was thinking about this 4th of July, and if your listeners were the founding fathers, they might ask me questions like, how long have you been in this country? or where did you learn to speak English? To many Americans, I don't look like an American, and I don't have an American-sounding name. And on this 4th of July, I've been thinking about the Founding Fathers. The men who signed the Declaration of Independence saw their new nation as a white man's country. In fact, one of the first laws they passed was the Naturalization Act of 1790. This law provided that in order to be eligible for naturalized citizenship, an immigrant would first have to be white, and it used that term, white. And I could see where some of your listeners might say, Professor Takaki, that was 1790. That was a long time ago. Well, that law remained an active federal law until 1952. And because of that law, my grandparents who came from Japan to Hawaii did not become citizens of the United States. And yet, in my eyes, they were Americans. They came here, they settled here, they raised families here, and they worked here. They labored in the cane fields of Hawaii to help build the profitable sugar industry there. So what does it mean to be an American? I think we need to open up definitions of who is an American, make it more inclusive, more democratic. We have to remember that America is a nation that has been peopled by the world. The world is in America.
Do you still think it is a white country in attitude?
I think that there is what I call the master narrative of American history. We're both familiar with this narrative. It's a powerful, pervasive, popular story that this country was settled by European immigrants and that Americans are white or European in ancestry. And you can find this master narrative everywhere if you look for it. You can find it in the curriculum. You can find it in scholarship. You can find it in the media, the entertainment, as well as the news media. And you can find it in the language and the policies of our political leaders.
We need to take a quick break.
There is still this thinking.
We need to take a quick break. We'll talk more with Ron Takaki when we come back. We're talking about America this Independence Day. And you can join us to tell us what being an American means to you. 800-989-TALK. Or send us email, talk@npr.org. I'm Rebecca Roberts. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. My guest is Ron Takaki, professor of ethnic studies at the University of California, Berkeley. And before the break, we were talking about that master narrative of American history. And if you challenge that, if you challenge the notion that America was founded by Europeans and is more or less a white nation, then how do you maintain an American identity that includes diversity?
Well, it's not difficult. For one thing, that master narrative is being challenged by demography. Here the numbers do the telling. In California, minorities have become a majority. And they have become majorities in virtually every major city across the country. And so we are entering a new century, a new America, and we will have to redefine who is an American. Now, I have to give the Founding Fathers credit, however, for that Declaration of Independence. You asked earlier, like, what do we value? Well, I value that declaration, which proclaimed that equality is a self-evident truth. Because of that declaration, that naturalization law of 1790 was repealed in 1952, and today immigrants of color can become naturalized citizens. But in my thinking, you don't have to be a citizen to be an American. I think immigrants who are coming here who are not yet citizens are also Americans. They're working here. They're living here. They're raising families here. They're Americans, and they should be viewed as such. Those who are coming from Mexico, for example, are Americans, even though they are not naturalized, and even though they may not be documented.
We have email from Rick who says, how is nationalism different from patriotism, if at all? In many countries now, we are perceived as stating indirectly what is just or fair for us is not necessarily so for other peoples. I find that other countries are easily labeled as being nationalistic, but they would never thus describe the U.S., especially since 9/11.
Hmm. That's an interesting question. Nationalism is different from patriotism. I think with patriotism, you're only thinking about your nation. That's it, to be a patriot. The loyalty is to your nation. Nationalism means to believe in the basic principles, of the founding principles of your nation. That is nationalism. A love for what your nation stands for. And I think this was what Martin Luther King was saying about his dream. He wants this nation to live up to its principles. And that's nationalism.
Ron Tukak.
So that would be different than patriotism, where it would be my country, right or wrong.
Ron Takaki is author of A Different Mirror, A History of Multicultural America. He's been talking to us from his home in Berkeley. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Rebecca.
Let's hear from Jim in Stowe, Ohio. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Oh, hi. Yeah, well, the comment of your previous speaker just reminded me of Bertrand Russell's definition of patriotism, which is which he defined as the willingness to kill and be killed for trivial reasons. And to me, in a way, patriotism is kind of it's a narrow mindset of a person's identity that's it's really besides the point of who a person actually is. I mean, to me, I consider myself as a world citizen. I don't identify with any particular nation. I do happen to be an American, but that's just incidental, just like I happen to be an Ohioan.
And Jim, does that sense change when you're in other countries? We were having a conversation earlier today about how we tend to get more patriotic when we're among non-Americans.
It didn't in my case. I lived for a year in New Zealand, for example, and while I was there, I was greeted very warmly. They were very friendly to me, but I didn't. I felt I would have rather become. Actually, at one point, I wanted to marry a woman and stay there. I wanted to become a New Zealander, but as it turned out, I didn't. But to me, the national borders are an artificial construction that ultimately is really more evil than good, in the sense that wars are fought for. It's like Einstein said that the nation has become the modern idol. And what he meant by that is that whereas in olden days people would go to war and kill each other over the God or the, you know, what questions of religion, now it's questions of nationality. People will sign up and go and willingly kill other people, as we're doing now in Iraq and Afghanistan, because they believe that their country, right or wrong, like the previous speaker said.
Jim, thanks for your call. Anyone who quotes Einstein and Bertrand Russell in the same call is okay in my book. We're joined now by Gustavo Arellano. He's a staff writer with the OC Weekly and author of Ask a Mexican. He joins us from member station KUCI in Irvine, California. Welcome to the program.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Estoy bien, ¿y tú?
Bien, bien. Thank you for having me.
So what does being an American mean to you?
Being American to me means that we live in a country that could create an American, a great citizen, out of the lowliest scoundrel, out of anyone in the world. Anyone could come to this country, no matter what their circumstances, no matter whether they're legal or illegal, rich, poor, literate or illiterate, and ultimately, over time, they become an American.
We talked earlier with Pat Morrison, who talked about that sense of reinvention as part of the American ethos. Do you think that's particularly true among immigrants?
Oh, absolutely. I always tell people in my column specifically the story of my father, who he himself was an illegal immigrant from Mexico. Nowadays, that's the true scum of society, an illegal immigrant Mexican. And the first time he came in as a legal immigrant to this country was in 1968 in the trunk of a Chevy along with three other men. And that was the first time he came here illegally. He also literally jumped the border fence. He crawled through a sewer for 3 miles from Tijuana to San Ysidro down here in California. And eventually, though, he became an American thanks to the Amnesty Act of 1986. And now he's a proud citizen, and he himself thinks that there's an illegal immigration problem in this country.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Does he see any irony in that?
Of course he does. He won't admit to it. You know, us as children, myself and my sister, we have to prod him into it because at the same time, he doesn't appreciate the fact that a lot of Americans think Mexicans will not assimilate into this country. Mexicans are not patriotic about this country, but he's a truck driver down here in the ports in Los Angeles, and he himself says illegal immigration cuts down on my wages. They do cause problems for this country, and unfortunately, the bad illegal immigrants, the good immigrants, they get blamed for the problems that they create.
Would he describe himself as an American?
Absolutely. He's very proud of Mexico. In fact, he lives most of his life in Spanish. He knows how to speak English, but he still, you know, he talks to my mom in Spanish. They both mostly speak Spanish. When I talk to my father, it's always in Spanish, so he does know English. So he's very, very proud of his Mexican roots, but he votes every election. He pays taxes, and he will call himself an American. Right now, 4th of July, we're making our carne asada after this, and we're going to be flying the American flag. If that's not postmodern America, I don't know what is.
Man, I want to come to your house for a barbecue.
We're also grilling onions. We have horchata. We have and hot dogs for the people who don't like carne asada.
Yeah, choosing a hot dog over carne asada is just wrong. I'm tempted to say un-American.
Hey, we put jalapenos on those hot dogs, so it makes it all good.
Has your sense of what it means to be an American evolved over time as you've gotten older?
Absolutely. When I was growing up, I basically grew up in Mexico. I was born in Anaheim, California. My first language was Spanish. Most of the people that I grew up with, they were children of illegal immigrants, and almost all of them from my parents' hometown city in Zacatecas, a state in central Mexico. So growing up, you literally think that you're Mexican, but as you grow older, my first language actually when I entered kindergarten was Spanish. But as you grow older in this country, you inevitably assimilate, you inevitably learn the ideals of this country, you learn the history, you learn how to be patriotic about it. But since we did grow up in that background of Mexican immigrants, we also have a different sense. I think myself and my generation, which, you know, now young Latinos, we do have a different sense of what it means to be an American. And if anything, I think we have a better appreciation for what it is to be an American just because of our background. And so now I'm very proud of my parents. I'm very proud of my Mexican roots, but I'm an American. I love saying that.
Let's hear from Kathleen in St. Louis. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Hello. I really enjoy your show today.
Thank you.
I was thinking about that all day today when you had mentioned what it was like to be an American. I think thinking creatively and being raised in the late 60s, early 70s, and learning to keep your head down because anyone that stood up seemed to have gotten it shot off, to not to be afraid of the schoolyard bullies, and to make us green, all of us green again, so we can be looked up again as a country for the world to follow instead of us policing the world.
Kathleen, thanks for your call. We're hearing a lot of people who are, I think, struggling with pride in being an American, with also feeling a little disenchanted with how the country is going.
I do have problems, obviously, with what's happening in the United States, with the Iraq War, especially with this modern-day know-nothings trying to stop millions of immigrants from becoming citizens, from becoming American citizens. But nevertheless, I remain optimistic. I always think of the opening monologue to the film The Godfather, where the Italian mortician starts off by saying, "I believe in America. I believe in America. I know the history. I know that there's always been this nasty little xenophobic streak in the American soul, but nevertheless, the immigrants always trump that." So about a century ago, Congress was also debating whether we were allowing too many immigrants. But at the time, the evil immigrants were Italians, Hungarians, Jews. And so they commissioned something called the Dillingham Report that concluded that the new immigrants, and in those days Italians, that they were dumber than the older immigrants, and that they weren't learning English, and that they only came to this country to make money and send it back to their mother country, and they didn't want to become Americans. A century later, we still have that same rhetoric. A century later, those evil Italians are now proud Americans. So I believe in this country. I believe in progress. And I also am confident that the march of history will also include us Latinos.
Let's hear from Jake in Lawrence, Kansas. Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
The main thing that I came across when I was thinking about what it meant to be an American was, for me, it involves, you know, really a constant struggle to really find your own identity, because, you know, in America, identity is so fluid and, you know, is not necessarily associated with nearly as much history as, say, in Europe, for example, you know, and not so set in stone. That's really what it seems to me to be the most, you know, unifying characteristic of what it means to be an American, is that our, you know, identity is so much our own that a good deal of our life is spent struggling to determine exactly what that identity is.
And Jake, would you say that the fact that our identity is ill-defined and we each have to find it is an asset or a detriment to being an American?
Well, it cuts both ways, but I think mostly it's an asset because it allows us, a great deal more flexibility, and it allows us to do things that, other people could never conceive of doing because we have this, fluid identity, and we're not necessarily stuck with one, view of ourselves and limited to only that one view of ourselves. So I think on the whole, it's a good thing, definitely.
Jake, thanks for your call. Gustavo Arana, would you agree with Jake?
Absolutely. I think when you have a national identity that's fluid, that's always going to be an asset. For instance, in Mexico, national identity in Mexico, it's very rigid. It's incredibly rigid. And therefore, I believe it's stultifying and it doesn't allow Mexico to really grow. In my column, for instance, Ask a Mexican, I call myself a Mexican. A lot of Mexicans, they'll write into me and say, oh, you can't call yourself a Mexican. A Mexican does this, 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 and this. They basically have a checklist as to what exactly constitutes a Mexican. And then my response was, anybody who thinks you could put national identity into a neat little box, they're as deluded as a Minuteman.
Gustavo Arellano is a staff writer with the OC Weekly and author of Ask a Mexican. He's been talking to us from member station KUCI in Irvine, California. Thanks so much.
Gracias.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's hear from Todd in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, what I feel it means to be an American is the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then I think that we should all have the right to choose, the freedom to choose what we want. And as individuals, what we define as the American dream is different from person to person. But the one thing that binds us all together, the one thing that we have in common is that right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as long as my rights don't infringe on someone else.
Todd, thanks for your call. I'm joined now by Sonia Sanchez. She's author of several books and an award-winning writer, poet, and activist. She joins us from her home in Philadelphia. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to you also, and thank you for having me on your show.
And what does being an American mean to you?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that question. I mean, I didn't know you were going to ask me that question, but I just heard the last part. Being an African-American in this place called America, we've had, quite a difficult time. We've been called all kinds of names in this country, and you do know that our identity has been forged out of something called slavery. We were enslaved here and in this place called America, and so we would have a great man such as Frederick Douglass, who would give what they call the 4th of July speech, which was really not on the 4th of July, but was given on July 5th, believe it or not, in a place called Rochester, New York, And, who would say simply that, this 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice. I must mourn to drag a man in fetters into this grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems. This is, he said, in human mockery. So I grew up, came into the 1960s, believe it or not, not knowing that we were enslaved in a place called America, knowing nothing about our identity, other than I know that we were black in this place called America. We were called Negroes at that time. If you remember that, are you young enough to remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Are you old enough to remember that and young enough to remember that also, too? And at some point, we began to play with this identity, saying simply that, we weren't, in quotes, not Negroes. Let's find another name for us at this point. And we have, in a very real sense, influenced everybody, every other ethnic group in America, and women also, too, because we began that fight and that discussion about what it was to be black, what it was to be African American, what it was to be human. We began to say simply that, we must actively change the direction of this country and the world. And we did that by beginning to define ourselves and redefine ourselves. And we began to raise basic questions about a society that would not actually tell you that when you were enslaved, that would call you a Negro, that would have enslaved you, that would discriminate against you, that would say you couldn't take water or drink water out of a white fountain, that would make you sit at the back of the bus. All of this these things have forged our identity. And it makes me remember Martin Luther King, who said that, you know, we are called upon to raise certain basic questions about this whole society. And it's not a direct quote, but he said that it must be based on what he called political education.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about what it means to be an American with Sonia Sanchez. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. Now we're talking to author and poet and activist Sonia Sanchez about what it means to be an American. She's joining us from our home in Philadelphia. And I wanted to ask you about an email we received from Cecilia in Michigan, who says, "What do I think about most as an American? I'd say it's our shared history. I'm African American. I know there's good and bad as far as our relationship with each other goes, but I'd rather be here than in any country in the world. I feel safest here. Maybe it's because I know what to expect. Maybe it's because I earned the right to be here. Whenever I get back to this country from abroad, I breathe a sigh of relief. I'd rather be an African American here than anywhere in the world. Furthermore, my family fought in many wars going all the way back to the Civil War. This is my country."
But see, no one's disagreeing with that. My dear sister, if you understand the history and history in this country, you know, when Martin and other people began to talk about change in this country, if you remember when Martin went to jail, you know, the pastor said that he was doing the incorrect things by doing that, by going to jail. All I'm saying is that what I value most as an American, as an African American, and as an American in this country, is something on the line of what Thoreau said, you know, that it is the province of, he said, the historian, and I would add activists and students and poets and teachers, you know, to find out not what was, but what is. Where a battle has been fought, you will find nothing but the bones of men and beasts. But where a battle is being fought, there are hearts beating. What I value most about being an American and being African American is that there are hearts beating in this country. Right? Their hearts beating of people who are African-American, who are white, you know, who are lesbian, who are gay, you know, who are Latinos, or who are Asians, who are Native Americans. Those hearts are beating, and they're beating for justice and peace and democracy and freedom in this country. And for this country to really work, for us really truly understand our history and histories, you know, we've got to keep these hearts beating, young people's hearts beating, and understanding, removing them from this whole idea of consumers, you know, being only consumers in this country and being part of a culture of trash and voyeurs, you see. That's all I'm talking about. We have got to discover that, yes, I love being in this country. I think it's a great country. I'm saying it can be greater. And so, I'm saying that when we have a Supreme Court that will reverse something that people fought for, when we have a president who will reverse what a jury said that should happen to someone, then I'm saying it is indeed important for us then at some point to do the battle at that particular point.
Sonia Sanchez is a writer, poet, and activist. She's been talking to us from her home in Philadelphia. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear sister.